All right, Rabbosai, good morning. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is daf Yud. We have a beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us. We are picking up at the Mishnah in Yud, which is about, right, we got to the Mishnah yesterday? We got to the Mishnah, good. The Mishnah in Yud. So we'll say first Mishnah in Yud Amud Aleph. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in memory of Saul and Floret Pollack, Saul and Floret Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram Shul Ben Zechariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the family Zayin Nechama. Chato, ad shelo nismano. So we'll say, listen to this interesting case. Let's say, again, you have a case of where the Nasi, the king, or the Kohen Gadol sinned before they were appointed. But I will say, but what happens? Then they're appointed to their particular positions. V'achakach nismanu. Then they're appointed to their positions. But I will say, so what happens? But nevertheless, before their appointment, they have not yet brought their particular karbonos. Meaning they've not brought their kapara for their sin. Obviously, the shayla that the Mishnah is dealing with, Rabbosai, is what? Is what type of carbon do they bring? Do they bring the carbon of a head yot, or do they bring the carbon ultimately again of the melech or a nasi? So the Mishnah says, Hare elu ked yotos. So the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan Paskin, that they are treated like a head yot. They're treated like regular people. And Rabbosai, now what's the logic behind that? The logic behind that, Rashi says, is the Rabbanan Basar chait azli. The rabbis explain that the nature of your karban is determined by your status at the time of the sin. We look at who you are, what you are at the time of your sin, and that dictates the kind of karban you bring. Even if halacha lemaisa, before you get a chance to bring the actual karban, your status changes. Nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, your status is locked in at the time of the sin. Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon Omer, im no de lahem ad shelo nismanu chayovim. Mishen nismanu peturim. Reb Shimon Rabosai says as follows. Reb Shimon holds that halacha lemaisa, Reb Shimon essentially says that your status is determined both by the time of chait and yediyah, the time that you sin and the time that you become aware of your sin. So Reb Shimon says, if halacha lemaisa, they become aware of their infraction before the appointment to their new positions, then einach inami, they'll bring a carbon like a head yot. Otherwise, again, they will be putter. So if they only find out that they sinned once they became a nasi or a kohen gadol, then ultimately, in Reb Shimon's model, in this case, they will be putter. They will be putter. So therefore, again, Ramosa, fundamental machlokes, when do we gauge the chiyuv of the individual? The Rabbanan say at the time of the chait, their status is locked in. Reb Shimon says you need both chait and yediyah. So the Gemara goes weiter. So ezehu nasi, we'll say, by the way, ask the Mishnah, who is this nasi that we've been speaking about this entire time? Zemelech. This refers ultimately again to the king. Shnei Amar mikol mitzvos Hashem Elokav, because we'll say again, we're referring to the nasi, because remember, I mentioned this in passing yesterday. The pasuk that talks about the king, use lashon of asher nasi yechta, if the Nasi will sin and do one of the sins that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his God, told him not to do. So remember again, lest you think that the Torah never uses the word melech, that's not true. After all, again, when the Torah speaks out the commandment to appoint a king, what does it say? Som tasim alecha, melech. So again, what the Mishnah is dealing with over here is who is the Nasi? To which the Gemara answers, the Nasi is the melech. Where do we know this from? Because the pasuk says, "Mikol mitzvos Hashem Elokav." If you will violate any of the mitzvos of Hashem, His God, she'in agabav el Hashem Elokav. We're referring to someone who answers to no one other than God. Who is the man who answers to no one other than God? It is ultimately the Melech. So, Menahani Mili. So asks the Gemara, from where do we know this? The Tan Rabbanan, Shabbos, what the Gemara is asking over here is as follows. In the sheet of the Rabbanan, we have this idea that if the individual sins as a commoner, even if before they bring their karban, they are appointed as melech or nasi, they bring the karban of a commoner. From where do we know this? The Tan Rabbanan, im koina mashiach yachet lashmasam, if the anointed Kohen will sin, Prat Lakodmos. Ultimately, again, when does the Kohen bring his particular karban? That ultimately, again, comes to exclude a case of Kodmos. Kodmos means where he sinned before his appointment. In that kind of situation, he only brings the karban of a regular individual. So the Gemara says, Valo Dinos. So we're going to go through a little bit of a lengthy discussion about this. Not lengthy, like long, but in-depth conversation about this. Valodinu, I could make a. I just want to point out When I put out a garata on the WhatsApp, it was not a way to lure you here. This is like a, what are they called? A switch and bait and switch. The answer is no, we're gonna get to it. We just have to do a few lines. Follow Dinu. Uman Nasi Shemevi Bishkaga Bishigas Maisa. So I'll say the Nasi, the king, who brings his carbon Bishigas Maisa when he makes a mistake about a particular halacha. Ein Mevi Ala Kodmos does not bring a carbon for, or I should say the king's carbon, for any avera committed before his appointment. Mashiach she'in mevi ela al helam davar b'shigas maisa. The coin Mashiach, Abba Sayyid, only brings, remember, we spoke about this yesterday, if there are two factors in effect. Number one, helam davar, that he did not know the halacha, and shigas maisa, and a mistaken action. He certainly should not bring ultimately again for any avera committed before his appointment. Jewish Gemara says, not necessarily. No. If the Nasi doesn't go ahead, and but yet the Nasi is different. Why? Rabbi said, this goes out to yesterday's daf. Once the king is no longer the king, Rabbi said, then what? His karbanos reflect are the karbanos of a commoner. Tomar b'Mashiach shemevi chatos u'mishavar. Yes, we'll say, what did we learn? That the Kohen Gadol, even after he is no longer the practicing Kohen Gadol, still what? Still brings the karbonos of the Kohen Gadol. Yavi ala kodmos. I might have thought that because the Kohen Gadol has this interesting status, that even once he is no longer functioning as the Kohen Gadol, he still brings the karbanos of the Kohen Gadol. Maybe what? He should also bring the Kohen Gadol's karban for a chet committed before he became Kohen Gadol, but for a chet that he has not yet brought his karban. To which, let me say that differently. Because the Kohen Gadol ultimately retains his status even after he is no longer the practicing Kohen Gadol, I might have thought that for an aver that he committed before his appointment, but that only found out about, or that only had an opportunity to bring a karban for after his appointment, that maybe he should bring the karban of the Kohen Gadol as well. Talmud Lomar, we'll say first wide line, HaMashiach Yechta. So therefore, again, the pasuk says, if the anointed coin will sin, therefore, we'll say the pasuk teaches us that no, it is only for a sin committed while he is the Kohen Gadol does he bring the unique carbon, but for any sin that was committed before his appointment, he brings the carbon of a commoner. The Brisa also supports this assertion by the king. Asher nasi yechta, if the king will sin, prat l'kodmos. The pasuk says this comes to exclude a case of what? Of where the king sinned prior to his appointment as king, that he does not bring the king's carbon, rather he brings a commoner's carbon. Shiyach avalo dinhu, because we're going to say otherwise, I could have made the following kal v'chomer, uma mashiach shemevi chatasu mishavar, eno mevi ala kodmos. So we'll say the coin mashiach, who brings the coin gadol's carbon, even what? Even after he is no longer the functioning coin gadol. Right? Nevertheless, does not bring the carbon for a sin committed before his appointment as Kohen Gadol. Nasi she'ein mevi chatasu mishavar. The Nasi Rabbo say, who once he is no longer acting in the capacity as king, does not bring the special king's carbon. Eino din shelo yavi ala kodmos. Certainly, again, he should not bring the carbon on any averos committed before his appointment as king. To which he wants to go 1 second. Mala mashiach shekin in mevi b'shigagas maisa. But yet again, when it comes to the Kohen Mashiach, he brings his special carbon as long as there's shigagas maisa, as long as he makes a mistake in action. Tamar benasi she maybe b'shigas maisa. Hoil maybe b'shigas maisa. Yavi ala kodmos. Ultimately, again. So, but the Nasi will say, who does go ahead and bring the carbon b'shigas maisa, maybe again he should also have to bring the carbon for actions committed before his appointment to king. Talmud lomar asher nasi yechta. So shechata v'hariu nasi v'lo shechata v'odeo edyot. So we'll say, therefore, again, the pasuk says asher nasi yechta, that it is only if he sins while he is the Nasi that he brings his special carbon, but any averos committed prior to his appointment as the Nasi, he does not bring the special Nasi's carbon. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha l'maisa, the Gemara is teaching me that we paskin like the Rabbanan. Namely, that the only time that the Kohen Gadol and the Melech will bring their unique karbanos is if the chet was committed while they were in office. Now again, remember, So, okay, let's finish this thought. So while the chayit was coming, while they're in office, if they sinned before they were in office, but let's say did not yet have an opportunity to bring the karban, then were appointed to office, it doesn't matter. They still bring the karbanos of hedyot. Now remember again, if we continue that, if we can follow through that continuum, if they sin while they are in office, and then what? Leave office before having the chance to bring their karbanos, then what happens, Rabosai? The Kohen Gadol will still bring the karban of a Kohen Gadol, the Melech will bring the karban of the Hedyot. So now we see the entire continuum from Hedyot to Hedyot, and everything in between. Good. Tan Rabbana, Rabosai, very, very beautiful and exciting Gemara ahead of us. Asher Nasi Yechta, if the king will sin, if the king will sin, Yochol Gzeira. Now, we'll say now, what the Gemara says is something very interesting. Asher Nasi Yechta, we'll say, remember, Asher could be understood in a number of different ways. Asher could mean when. So when the Nasi sins almost sounds like what? Like a declarative statement. The Nasi will sin. When the Nasi sins, meaning the Nasi will sin. So the Gemara says, so Yochol Gzeira, I'm at a first we'll say this is a Gzeira. Or maybe it's a decree that the Nasi is, the Torah is telling us, the Nasi is going to sin. To which the Gemara says, Tamud Lomar, Im Koin HaMashiach Yechta. Supposed to say, therefore, again, the Pasuk uses, the Gemara Torah uses the Lashon of Im Koin HaMashiach, if the anointed coin will sin. Malahalan L'chishi Yechta, Af Kamash L'chishi Yechta. Supposed to say, just like by the Koin Gadol, it's if he will sin, so too by the Melech, it is if he will sin. Amar Mar, Yachol Gzeira Mehechi Tesi. So Mar says, I don't understand, what's even the Havamina? That the Torah is telling you that the Nasi is inevitably going to sin. Look at Rashi for just a moment, Rabbi. Say it's in the right hand side, about halfway down in the short lines. Gzeira mehecha teisi. Kolomar hechi matzis lemeimar yachol gzeira dehechi ashkechan gzeira chiyai gafna. Rabbi, say where do we ever find that there is a gzeira to sin? In other words, remember, sin is a function of bechira chafshis. It's a function of free will. So where do you enter in a havamina that there's a gzeira that the melech is going to sin? Amri in. Ashkechon dichsev, we see. Because what does it say? Dichsev, v'nasati nega tzaras beveis eretz achuzaschem. Torah says, I will place tzaras in the homes, in your homes, in Eretz Yisrael. Besura hilahem, shenegoim boim aleihem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us in a declarative way that there is going to be tzaras in our homes. Div Rabbi Yehuda, these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, "Dichsev nasati nega tzaras beis eretz achuzaschem." Besori ilham shakosov mevasran sha'asid lios afal pisha davarohu. The Rebbe says the Gemara is operating under the assumption that what tzaras is something bad, and yet what is the Torah telling me? That tzaras is a punishment for some type of negative behavior. Yeah, what is the Torah telling me? It's going to happen. So it sounds like the Torah is telling me in a declarative way that I'm going to sin and therefore going to be punished with tzaras. So the Rabbi Shimon says, no. Prat l'nigei on sin. This pasuk is coming to teach me something else, Rabbi Osei. That if tzaras ultimately happens through some type of ones, that again, those afflictions don't have the status of tzaras. We'll say Rashi is going to say something amazing. Prat l'nigei onsin. We'll say, what's an example ultimately again of tzaras that's an ones? So Rashi says, Shimbo negoyim ayedei nefichas shade delo mitmu. We'll say somehow if tzaras comes about as a result of the blowing of a shade, so that type of tzaras does not convey to him. Again, we'll see what that means in just a, actually, we're not going to see what that means. But we'll expound upon it just a bit further. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, Lav Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'sora hachanami eim gzeirahi hilchach ksev im. So we'll say again, I'm at a thought, so Rabbi Yehuda will say, lest you think that this is a definitive declaration. So therefore, again, the pasuk uses the lashon of im. Im means if it will happen. Rabbi Shimon nige onsin milo metamu. So we'll say, does Rabbi Shimon hold that nige onsin? So we'll say, whatever it means, these nige onsin means saras that is caused by something other than my sinful behavior. So again, Rashi's example is through shadim. I'm not exactly sure how you tell the difference between different types of saras, but whatever it is, the Gemara says, does Rabbi Shimon really hold that saras that is caused by onsin, some type of external factor, nothing to do with me, does not convey to ma? Vatanya, Adam kiyeh. We'll say the pasuk is talking about Adam kiyeh be'ar b'saro. If a person will be afflicted with saras, min adibar ve'elich. We'll say something very interesting over here. The only time that saras is metame is when? After Kabbalah Satorah. Only Tzaras after Kabbalah Satorah has the ability to convey Tumah. Tzaras before Kabbalah Satorah, we'll say, doesn't have the ability to convey Tumah. We'll say, where is this enough Kamina? Let's say you were a Jew who arrived at Har Sinai with Tzaras. With Tzaras. Then what happens? We get the Torah. The coin looks at your nega. He says, oh, it's Tzaras. We'll say, that would not become Tumah. Only Nigun that come about in the aftermath of Matzah Torah, what we call Minah Dibor Ve'ilich, ultimately have the ability to convey Tumah. Balo dinu. So we'll say ultimately again, there's a Kavach Omer, Tamei B'Zavah Tamei B'Negayim. Ultimately, we know that a Zav is Tamei and a Mesor is Tamei. Ma Zav min Adibra Ve'ilich, just like the Zav only becomes Tamei from when? From Matan Torah and on. After Negayim min Adibra Ve'ilich. So too again, Tzaras also only becomes Tamei from Matan Torah and on. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Prat L'Nige Ruchos. This ultimately, again, this pasuk actually comes to exclude what we call Nige Ruchos, which Rav Osei means Tzaras, ultimately caused. Well, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rav Osei, it's in the left-hand side of Rashi. He says, Rava Amar Lokashi, how did come Rav Shimon Prat L'Nige Onsin? Kigo Nige Ruchos. The Al Yidei Nefichas Shade V'lo Al Yidei Adam. So we'll say, Rava calls this Nige Ruchos, ultimately, again, some type of Tzaras that's caused by a shade. Ultimately, such tzaras does not convey tumah. Rav Papa Amar Prat L'Nigei Kshafim. Rav Papa says that it comes to exclude what? Some type of tzaras that comes about as a result of kishuf, as a result of sorcery. These type of tzaras, I will say, as much as they may present as a typical tzaras case, tzaras caused by one's own sinful behavior, this type of tzaras ultimately, again, does not convey tumah. How exactly one is able to tell the difference? Bless you. The difference between this, I'm not sure. But should you be able to tell the difference, to tell the root of it, again, it is only tzaras that comes about as a result of one's sinful behavior that causes tumah, but tzaras that comes out because of any other external stimuli does not convey tumah. Tan Rabbanon, Asher Nasi Yechta, Bose is amazing. Prat L'chola, this is amazing. Prat L'chola, so we'll say this comes to exclude a king who is sick. So if apparently the Gemara is saying is if the king is sick, he is potter ultimately again from the special carbon of the Nasi. Says, I don't understand. Mishum, you say, I don't think, if the king gets sick, ultimately, again, he's no longer the king. In other words, it sounds like if the king gets sick, he's not the king. And therefore, if he sins, he brings the karbanos of a commoner. Because the king gets sick, he's not the king. What's the pshat? Amar Avdimi Bar Chama, Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama, Prat L'Nasi Shenitztara. We'll say what it means is, if the king is stricken with tzaras, Rabosai, he is temporarily deposed. If the king gets tzaras, he does not function as the king while the tzaras is still going on. Shene emar, vayinoga hashemes hamelech, vayimitzora ad yom moso. That the king, Rav said this on King Uzio. King Uzio was afflicted with tzaras, and he was mitzora until the day that he died. The Yoshev bebeis hachofshis. Rav said this is going to be an amazing amazing gemara. Right? Rav said, where did he dwell? Bebeis chofshis. Rav said, what's the bebeis chofshis? Vacation home, right? He dwelled in the house of freedom. The Yosam ben Amalek, his son Yosam alabayis. His son Yosam ultimately took over. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is intrigued by this. We'll say, so remember, why did we quote this pasuk? We quoted this pasuk ultimately to teach us the Yesod, that ultimately, again, if the king is stricken with tzaras, he is deposed. Now, again, only deposed while the tzaras is there. Meaning, once he recovers, he's restored back to his monarchy. So the Gemara is bringing this pasuk. We'll say now the Gemara is going to get totally caught up in a different dynamic. What does it mean? The king Uzio dwelt beveis chofshis in the house of freedom. Now the pasha pshat, all kidding aside, is his vacation house. His vacation house. But the Gemara is intrigued by why does it use that lashon of his house of freedom? Michlal da'ato da'atash da'evetava. It sounds like up until now, what, he was a slave? Was he an eved up until now? Then now that, well, while he was the king, he was an eved. Now that he's not the king, he's free. What's the pshat? We'll say, get ready for this, Gemara. Get ready for this. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua was traveling by boat. Bahadi Rabbi Gamliel have pita. Rabbi Gamliel took with him bread. You have to pack provisions for the trip. He packed bread. Bahadi Rabbi Yeshua have pita vesulta. Rabbi Yeshua packed in bread, but also packed in flour. Shalim piti Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel finished up his bread, and what happens? Samach asulti Rabbi Yoshua. He had to rely on the flour of Rabbi Yoshua. Bach Rabbi Yoshua packed in more flour. So Rabbi Gamliel was able to partake of the flour of Rabbi Yoshua. So we'll say, now again, the backstory to this is what happened. The journey got delayed. I mean, that's what happened. Rabbi Gamliel had brought enough bread with him for the journey. The boat got delayed. Rabbi Gamliel runs out of bread. He has to rely on Rabbi Yeshua's flour. Amarlay, so Rabbi Gamliel is intrigued by this. So also remember again, understand, this is a fast. Remember, well, you've seen this pair before, right?
Yeah.
Also, you remember 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, doing Mesechus Brachos? Right, remember that Gemara? That Gemara? Right? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are the one who have the incredible showdown in Mesechus Brachos that ultimately leads to Rabbi Gamliel's being fired from his job. Right? This is the whole Rabbi Lo- I'm bringing this up because we just learned about this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Right? Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. That's when Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is appointed as the head of the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Gamliel, so we'll say, here they're friends. They're friends over here in this case. So what happens? So Rabbi Gamliel is intrigued by this. And he says, Amarle, mi hava yadata hava lanakuva kulehai. Yoshua, how did you know that we would be delayed? That you brought, Rabbi Gamliel essentially saying, listen, I'm a smart guy. I plan ahead. Rabbi said, you know, there's an incredible metaphor in this Gemara about planning ahead. The journey, any single time you see anything about a journey, that is always a metaphor for life. So when you go on the journey, you always have to plan to the best of your ability. You have to plan ahead. Rabbi Gamliel says, usually I'm pretty good. I think I brought more than enough bread with me. Right? How did you know to bring flour? How did you know that we would be so delayed that you brought flour with you? Amrlei, Rabbi Yeshua responds, Kochav echad l'shevim shana ola, umate es hasfinos, or hasaponim, v'amarit ishema ya'ale v'yite osanum. So Rabbi Yeshua says, listen, once every 70 years, there's a star that comes out that often misleads the sailors or the ship. So in other words, remember, they're navigating by the stars. So once every 70 years it happens. Now again, I don't keep track of this stuff because at the end of the day, I'm not a normal maritime traveler. But I figured, you know what? I gotta be prepared for everything. Maybe they're gonna get lost. And therefore, again, I brought the extra flour. Was listen to this.
Baby Haley's comet every 76 years.
Look at that. Maybe Healy's comment. Wow. Incredible. So the Gemara says as follows. So Amarlei, so listen to this, we'll say, Healy's comment is every 76 years.
Yes.
Did we? There was one a little while ago.
Yeah. You missed it.
Oh. That's a depressing thing. Oh, well. Okay, thank you. Oh, well. Good. At least they got to learn about it. Baruch Hashem. So says the Gemara, fine. Says the Gemara, Amrlei kolkach biyotcha v'ata ola b'sina. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yoshua, you're such a smart man, and yet you have to travel by boat. So Rabbi Rashi points out over here that obviously, why is Rabbi Yoshua on this boat? Now, b'pashtos, Rabbi Gamliel is on the boat for some type of official business because he's the head of the Jewish people. Rabbi Yoshua is on the boat presumably because he's got to do business. Rabbi will say, generally, again, traveling by boat, Rashi points out, was dangerous, which means that if you had any opportunity to make your parnasa on dry land, you made your parnasa on dry land. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yoshua, you're such a smart man, why haven't you made your parnasa ultimately, again, on dry land? Why do you have to travel by boat? So Amarle, so let's listen to this. So Amarle, so Rabbi Yoshua says back to Rabbi Gamliel, Ad sha'ata tama alai, before you wonder about me, Tamach shnei tamidim sheyesh lecha biyabasha, Rabbi Elazar chasma, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudguda. Rabbi Yoshua says, essentially, I'm making a living. I'm all right. You know, you should worry about. I'm a smart guy. I can figure it out. You have two talmidim who are even smarter than me, who are dirt poor. Sheyodin l'shar kamatipos yesh bayam ve'ein lam pas lechol. They are so smart that they could tell you how many droplets of water there are in the sea, but they don't even have bread to eat. They don't even have bread to eat for little beged lilbosh, and they don't even have anything to wear. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you know what? When I get back, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to appoint them to communal positions. Because like this, again, they'll get a parnasa. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Right? I'm going to appoint them to communal positions. They'll have a parnasa. We'll say, get ready for this. Kisha Allah, when Rabbi Gamliel comes back to the shore, Shalach Lahem, he sent word to Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudguda and Rabbi Elazar Chasma to appear, to come before him. V'lo bo. We'll say what happens. They would not come. They wouldn't respond. Chazar v'shalach ubo. And what happens? Now he sent for them a second time, and this time they showed up. Now we'll say, now he understood their reticence. They understood why they were being summoned, that they were going to be appointed to official positions in the community. So Rabbi Gamliel says, I know what you're thinking. Amar lahem, kimedumin atem shesrara ninosin lachem. You think I'm giving you positions of covet, right? You think I'm giving you positions of covet, amadeis? Avdus ani nosein lachem. I'm giving you avdus, right? And when I appoint you for a position in the community, I'm not giving you glory. I'm not giving you covet. I'm making you avadim. Avdus ani nosein lachem. Look at the top Rashi on the base. Avdus ani nosein lachem. Shasraros avdusu. Because the Bosei leadership ultimately represents being an eved to the people. Avdus ula adam lefi shemutol alav ol rabim. Because the yoke of the collective, the yoke of the rabbim, the yoke of the community is upon the individual. So what I say here, it's amazing. Rabbi Gamliel gives them such mussar. He says, you guys aren't showing up because you think your ego is going to swell? Trust me, right? The greatest antidote to a swelled ego is Jewish communal leadership, right? So I'll say, so that knocks you down every day. So I'll say, he says, don't worry, I'm not giving you such covet. I'm giving you a parnasa. I'm giving you a parnasa and giving the opportunity to do great things, but don't worry about it all going to your head. You're not going to be leaders. You're going to be avod. And I will say, just understand that the tie-in of this, the tie-in is because, how did the Gemara get to this whole discussion? Because remember, again, I will say, when the Gemara was trying to prove that a king who is a Metzora doesn't serve in the capacity of the king. So it quotes the pasuk by Uzziyahu. And what does it say? When Uzziyahu was no longer king, Rabbi said, where did he go? Beveis Chavshis, right? Suddenly again, he goes to the house of freedom. Why is it called goes to the house of freedom? Because when he was king, he wasn't free. Because the leader is not free. The leader is an Eved. The leader is an Eved. So Shnei Amar, Shvaidabru, Eilav Leimor, Im Hayom Tia Eved La'amazeh. Both said, this is by King Rehavam. That's when Rehavam, when Shlomo dies and Rehavam is appointed as king, so the advisors of Shlomo say to the young king, if you will make yourself an eved to the Am, you will be a popular and successful king. Make yourself an eved, make yourself a servant to the people, and the people will respect you. We'll say again, incredible, incredible yisod. And it's very important because sometimes people get involved in all types of communal things for all of the wrong reasons, and unfortunately, that's when things tend to go bad. A person should get involved with klal work for only one reason. That's to serve. That's to serve. Not for covet. Not ultimately, again, for ego. Not for any agenda other than to be an eved to klal yisrael. Because the truth is, ein zechus gedola mizo. There is no greater zechus in this world than to be an eved for the holiest people in the world, to be an eved for klal yisrael. Ten rabbanon. Asher nasi yachta. We'll say more amazing gemara. More amazing gemara. Asher nasi yachta. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So also Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Ashrei hador shanasi shalom may be carbon al shigagaso. Praiseworthy is the generation who sees its leader bring a sin offering for an inadvertent sin. And remember, we have a little bit of a play on words over here. What's this play on words? Asher ashrei. Asher ashrei. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai literally uses a pasuk, Ashrei nasi yechta. Praiseworthy is the generation, ultimately again, who sees its leader's sin and bring a carbon for its sin. Imnasis Gemara says, Imnasis shalom may be carbon. Tzarech atalomar ma'u hedyot. We'll say, if people see that the leader is courageous enough to bring a carbon for his sin, then the commoner is going to say, if the king could do it, so can I. V'mashigigosu may be carbon. And if the king brings a carbon for a shogi, for his accidental sin, Tzarech atalomar ma'azadono. So we'll say, goes without saying that, of course, he's going to do tshuva for his intentional sins as well. Maskifla. We also, you know, I mentioned this before. There's a beautiful piece by the Amshin of Rebbe. The Amshin of Rebbe says, I don't understand, what do you mean, Ashrei Adar, praiseworthy is the generation who sees its leader sin, right? Or praiseworthy is the leader who sins. I have even a better one. Praiseworthy is what? The leader who never sins, right? So first of all, the simple answer to that is, it never happens, everybody sins. But so the Amshin of Rebbe says something amazing. He says, it's not true. He says, the job of a leader is the besochami ani yoshev, right? The idea is to be within the people. Let's say, a leader could only appreciate the struggles of the people if what? If he has struggles of his own. If the leader doesn't have struggles, if the leader is perfect, then he can't relate to the masses. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, it's only if the leader has his struggles that he can relate to the struggles of. So that's why, again, that's Ashrei Hador. Praiseworthy is the leader, praiseworthy is the generation who has his own pekel. Because if he has his own pekel and he struggles and he falls and he fails, he'll be able to relate to the struggles, falls, and failures of his people. Maskifla Rava Breid Rava. So I'll say, Rava The son of Rabbi asked the following question. Elamei ato, dichsiv, ve'isa sherchata, mina kodesh yishalim. So we'll say, now one second. Now what you've just done is as follows. You've said that wherever it says asher, asher could also be interpreted as what? As ashrei, praiseworthy. Okay, so let's see how this plugs in. Ve'is asher chata min hakodesh yishalim. So that which he sinned from the kodesh he shall repay. So we'll say, who's that talking about? Yeravam ben Nevat, dichsiv bei, asher chata, v'asher hichti, hachanami de ashrei hadorhu. So we'll say, you're going to tell me then by Yeravam ben Nevat, when he used the lashon of Ashi, Yeravam ben Nevat was an incredible rasha. We'll say, remember, he wasn't always. Yeravam ben Nevat was a big tzaddik. That's why when HaKadosh Baruch, remember again, Yeravam ben Nevat lives at the time of Rechavam, when the kingdom of Klal Yisrael splits, and the kingdom of Yisrael is handed to Yeravam ben Nevat, is chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the power went to his head, and ultimately, again, he made all kinds of egregious errors. So as I say, it says, Asher by Yeravam ben Nevat, Shaini Hacha, the Shani Krabba Dibure. We'll say over here it's different. Why? Because by the Nasi it changes the Lashon. It starts off by saying in Kol Adas Yisrael Yishku, and then it says in Koy Mashiach, Nefesh, and by the Nasi it says Asher Nasi Yechta. So the fact that it changes the Lashon by the Nasi to Asher goes out of its way to say Asher. Even though in the other cases it said Im, is to teach us an incredible lesson that praiseworthy is the generation, ultimately again, who sees its leader sin, but also do tshuva. Darsh of Nachman Baruch Yisrael said, which if you think about it, is such an incredible yisod, because we live in a world where, I mean, everybody loves to see people in power fail, and often redemption is not really an option. But yet the Gemara over here says that the leader is a human being also. He's going to fail, and when you see him exhibit the strength to do tshuva, Rav Osai, praiseworthy is such a generation. Incredible Gemara. Darsh of Nachman Baruch Chista. Mai tichsiv, yeishevel asher nasa la'aretz. What does it mean when it says that there is hevel? Rav Osai, the word hevel means nothingness. What does it mean when we say there's a nothingness that exists on this world? Asherim, let's say, Rav Osai, this is a very profound Gemara. Asherim l'tzadikim, shemagi aleim kimasa ereshem sha'olam ababa olam azeh. Bosei, listen to this incredible Gemara. Praiseworthy are the righteous, who experience the lifestyle of the wicked in the next world, in this world. So Bosei, follow this statement. Praiseworthy are the righteous, who experience the wicked's olam haba in olam hazeh. Bosei, what's the wicked person's olam haba? Suffering. So praiseworthy is the righteous person essentially who suffers in this world. Because through his suffering in this world, he will have a beautiful olam haba. Oy lehem nurishayim, shemagi aleim kimasa tzadikim sh'olam haba ba'olam hazeh. Woe to the wicked, Rabbi Hussein, who have the olam haba of the tzadikim in olam hazeh. Which Rabbi Hussein means, woe to the wicked, who have incredible blessing in this world, because ultimately, again, that just foreshadows the incredible suffering that they're going to have in the world to come. So we'll say, so this Gemara, we'll say, is the truth is, we're amongst friends, we're going to be honest. This Gemara is like the worst selling point for Yiddishkeit. Because, right, what does it essentially say? Oh, you should really be righteous. Why? And don't worry, life is going to be horrible. But there's going to be a lichtige Gan Eden, right? Mamish, the afterlife. So just hold on for 120 years of misery. It's going to be great afterwards. And meanwhile, you're like, your head is nodding. But inside, you're like, oh no. I don't, who wants to sign up for that, Rabbi Osei? It's great. Everybody wants a great Olam Haba. But I'm a human being. So Rabbi Osei, this is amazing. I'm a Rabba. Atut Tzadikim. So Rava says, whoa, hold on. What's so bad about having a good Olam Hazeh and a good Olam Haba? Who says it has to be, where do we come up with this idea that it has to be an either or? Right? That at the end of the day, it's like this tension. What's so bad if a tzaddik enjoys both worlds? Ela Amar Rava, so Rava says as follows. Rava changes this around. Asherim l'tzadikim, shemagia aleim kimaisa arashem sha'olam hazeh, ba'olam hazeh. So Rava says, really what it means is like this. Praiseworthy is the righteous who enjoy an olam hazeh of rishayim. Rava says, which means what? Praiseworthy are the righteous who not only have a beautiful olam haba, but what Rava says, also have a beautiful olam hazeh. Oy lehem the rishayim shemagia aleim kimaisa tzadikim sha'olam hazeh ba'olam hazeh. But woe to the wicked, Rabbi Osai, who ultimately, again, enjoy the olam haba of, excuse me, master tikim shal olam hazeh ba olam hazeh, and pray, and woe to the rishayim, ultimately, again, who have the beautiful olam hazeh of tzadikim in this world as well. So we'll say Rava retools this. And in Rava's model, the tzaddik doesn't have to make a choice between olam hazeh and olam haba, but the tzaddik could potentially enjoy, ultimately, again, both a comfortable life in this world, as well as a comfortable life in the world to come. We'll say, it's what Chazal call ochel al shtei shulchanos, someone who is able to eat at two tables, the table of olam hazeh and the table of olam haba. In other words, it need not be an either or. Rapapa Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua, asa l'kamei di Rava. So let's listen to this, Maisa. Rapapa Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua, come before Rapapa. Amar lehu, ok misun mesechta planum mesechta planum. We'll say this is an amazing Gemara. So what happens? So these two Rabbanim, Rapapa and Rav Huna, come before Rav Yehoshua. Rav Yehoshua gives him a little bit of a fahari. He says, tell me, are you learning this mesechta? Are you learning that mesechta? Amar lein. They said yes. So listen to this, Rabbi Osai. Itarisu purta, tell me. Rapapa asks them, Rava asks them, tell me, Rapapa Rav Huna, do you have a little bit of money? Right? How's life? Right? How's your material? Rabbi Osai, atiru purta means, are you a little bit wealthy? Rashi says, look at top Rashi, left hand column, kilomar, yesh lachem osher, ve'in lachem litrach achamazonos, v'yesh lachem panai lasok tadir b'tar. So listen, this is like such a Jewish interaction. Are you comfortable? Right? Are you comfortable? Right? Tell me again, we'll say, and I want to point something out. If you notice, Rava doesn't ask them, do you have bread to eat? Rava asks them, are you financially successful? Atiru is osher. Are you a little bit wealthy? In other words, how are you doing financially? Yesh lechem osher. Ve'ein lechem l'trach achar mezonos. Are you comfortable so that you're not worrying about money? Atiru, are you a little bit wealthy? Amru le'in. They said, as a matter of fact, yes. Dizabnin katina da'ara. So we'll say, why? Because what business were they in? Right? Real estate, right? We're in real estate. We got a little bit of land, Baruch Hashem. And thank God we're great. You know, Baruch Hashem, we're living off the land. The land provides us with what we need. So yes, Baruch Hashem, we are financially comfortable. Kari alayu asheim letzadikim. So we'll say, Rava said about them, praiseworthy to the righteous. Shemagia aleim kemasar eshem sheba'olam azeh, ba'olam azeh. Praiseworthy are the righteous who are able to enjoy the olam hazeh of the wicked in olam hazeh. In other words, we'll say, which is another way of saying, praiseworthy are the righteous who are able to enjoy a beautiful olam hazeh as well as a beautiful olam haba. Well, it's an incredibly important gemara. First white line. Am Rav Arachan, Am Rabbi Yochanan. May tichsiv ki yisham darchi Hashem v'tzadikim yalchubam uposhim yikashlubam. We'll say, what is the meaning of the pasuk? When the Pasuk in Hosea says, because the ways of God, right, are straight, v'tzadikim yelchubam, the righteous will walk on them, uposhim yikashlubam, but the sinner will stumble upon them. Rabbi say, which, now what's interesting about this statement is as follows. What's interesting about this is, Rabbi say, it sounds like it's the Pasuk is describing the same path. And on that same path, the righteous will walk easily, but the wicked will stumble on that path. What's the pshat? So the Gemara says, "Mashal l'shnei bnei adam shetzalu pischei." This can be compared to two people who roasted their carbon Pesach. Echad achol l'shem mitzvah, ve'echad achol l'shem achil gasa. One aided for the purpose of a mitzvah, and one aided as a glutton, meaning one was already full and overindulged, was gluttonous eating. So the one who ate the Karam Pesach for the sake of the mitzvah will say, that's an example of the righteous walk on the path of God. And he who went ahead and ate it in a gluttonous way, will say, that's an example of that the wicked will stumble upon it. I'm really sluggish. I don't understand. Rasha Karisle, the guy who eats the Karban Pesach in a state of Achila Gasa, he's wicked? You're going to call him wicked? Nihidalo Ovid Mitzvah min Amufchar, Pesach Milo Ka'achil. I understand he didn't do the mitzvah in the best way. But what? He still did a mitzvah. He did a mitzvah. So I'll say we have a different mashal. Ella mashal. Rachatah Adonai Elohim Malacholam Shakoni Ebedvaro. Well, this is a pretty interesting mashal. Ela mashal shnei b'nei adam. Rather, again, there's a mashal of two men. Ze ishto v'achosim v'abayis, v'ze ishto v'achosim v'abayis. So a man is in a house with his wife and with his sister. Echad nizdam nalo ishto. So we'll say, that night, it's dark, he has relations with one of the women. So for one of them, it turns out to be his wife. Ve'echad nizdam nalo achoso. And one of them, it turns out to be his sister. Zeshin is always right, right? Zesh is well said. Zeshin is damnalo ishto. So I'll say the one who ends up having relations with his wife, tzadikim yelchubam. So ultimately, again, so that's an example of the tzadik. Zeshin is damnalo achoso uposhim ikashlubam. Right? So ultimately, again, the one who ends up having relations with his sister, that's an example of the wicked will stumble upon it. So I'll say, all right, there's a lot to say on this case, which is much more problematic than the interpretation of the pasuk. But okay, that's, but me dummy. Me, so we'll say, the Gemara says, how can you compare this case? We'll say, we're looking for an example of one act, one act, which for one person essentially represents a mitzvah, and for another person represents an avera. That's not this case that you're talking about over here. This case over here, we'll say, is two different women. And one ends up being with the correct woman, and one ends up being with the incorrect woman. So, listen to this case. Rather, says the Gemara, and this is going to become the paradigmatic example of Lot and his two daughters. Hainshin is kabnu l'shem mitzvah, tzadikim yelchubam. We'll say the daughters, mamish had in mind l'shem shamayim. They thought humanity was wiped out, and they thought that the only way to perpetuate humanity was through relations with their father. They had kavanas l'shem shamayim. Their intentions were for the sake of heaven. That's tzadikim yelchubam. Hushin is kabnu l'shem avera, uposhli kashlubam. So Lot, we'll say, who had in mind to commit an avera, ultimately, again, he is the example of the wicked will stumble us. We'll say same exact act. The daughters are credited with being righteous. Lot is credited with being wicked. I don't understand. V'dilma hunami l'shem mitzvah mechaving. Maybe again, I will say. Maybe what? Maybe Lot also had in mind l'shem mitzvah. How do you know he didn't have l'shem mitzvah? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol ha'pasuk has l'shem averanev. I will say the entire pasuk itself has allusions to other psukim which talk about sin. Ne'amar vayisa Lot. Pasuk says Lot lifted his eyes. Vatisa eshes Adonav esenav by eshes Potiphar. Es enav vayomer Shimshon also kachli ki yishar benav. Also, when Shimshon ends up and marrying Delilah, enai vayar also Shechem ben Chamor. Es kala kikar yarden ki baad ishazona ad kikar lechem ki kula mashka elcha acharim oavai nosne lachmi umeimai tzamri upishtish manai v'shikuyai. So both say, the Gemara says over here that the Lashon, entire Lashon of Lot contains scriptural allusions to other psukim which speak about immorality, indicating to us that Lot was an exceptionally immoral individual. I v'ham menis honest, but one second, at the end of the day he was drunk, right? Is it not an honest, is it not about extenuating circumstances? Tani Mishnah Rabbi Yossi Barchoni, Lama Nakud Avav Shebikumasha Bechira. So we'll say, if you notice again in the Pasuk says, Velo Yada Bishachva Uvikuma, that Lot did not know what happened when he slept with his oldest daughter, Ubikuma, and when she got up. We'll say there is a dot above the Vav. What's the pshat? Lomar, shebishach balo yada. He didn't know, so you're right, inachinami, Lot did not know what happened when he slept with his oldest daughter, aval bikuma yada. But the next morning when he got up, he realized what happened. Umay havale lemeavad. So what should he have done? So the Gemara says, my dehava hava. What happened? In other words, he couldn't have changed the past. You're right. But nafkamina, delapanya achmina lo iboile lemishte. Lot, give up the wine, right? Why don't you go easy on the wine the next night, right? You recognize again that what happened last night and as a result of the wine. So that next night, when your younger daughter offers you wine, it may be kedai to pass on that one. So we'll say, so ultimately, because he didn't, which is, if you think about it, is an incredible yisod, which tells us that even the second night, he was Lot drunk, right? Even the second night, he was seen. The one thing is, he did not knowingly engage in an act of incest, but we'll say he allowed himself to be put in circumstances which ultimately resulted in, we'll say, this is such an incredible muster in life, because this happens all the time with us, right? Which is, I'm not actively sinning, but I allow myself to be put in circumstances, and then something happens. And then after it happens, I ask myself, how did that happen? How did it happen? I put myself in the circumstances. And once you put yourself in the circumstances, it's difficult to dial back those realities. Darash Rabba, my dichsiv ach nifsha mikiryas oz. Umiyanim kibriach haimon. Ach nifsha mipir kiryas oz. Who is the brother, a sinful brother from kiryas oz? Zet Lot. Shepirish mi Avram. Lot was sinful, ultimately because he separated himself from Avram. Umiyanim kibriach haimon. And what does it mean? Again, he put like a bolt in the door to secure the doors of the palace. Shetil midyanim ben Yisrael la Amon. He created strife between Midyan and Amon. excuse me, I'm sorry, between Yisrael and Amon. Shneamar lo yavo Amon imavim bekal Hashem. Darash Rav Yitim Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichsev, letava yivakesh nifrav, ubakol toshia yiskala, letava yivakesh nifrav, zelot shnifrav mi'avram. What's this? The first zelot who severed himself from Avram Avinu. Bechol toshia yiskala, shneskala klono bavati knesios, bavati midrashos. This nan, amoni umoavi asurin isur olam. What's this? Ultimately, again, the degradation of Lot is known as in every single base medrash, in every single shul, because you read about his act of incest, and as a result, the pasuk says, "Lo yava umaani amoni umaavi bekal Hashem." Va'amar ula, Tamar zinsa v'zimri zina. This is amazing Gemara. Tamar committed an act of immorality. Right? She dressed up. Remember again, Tamar dressed up as a zona, and ultimately, again, has relations with her father, with Yehuda. So Tamar engaged in an act of znus, and Zimri engaged in an act of znus. Tamar zinsa yetsim and malachim. But say amazing. Tamar, what was the result of her union? Right, kings. Right, Tamar is the mother of the monarchical line. Right, unavim and prophets. Zimri zina. Zimri committed an act of znus. Naflu kamar rivos misa. But say, and as a result, ultimately again, thousands were killed. V'ra nachar bar Yitzchak. But say, get ready for this gemara. Gedola aveira lishma, mimitzah shelo lishma. I will say, and aveira lishma. Now again, do not take this, right, and start, aveira lishma, right? This is not to be applied, right? Not to be applied, this is just to be learned. So it says the Gemara, greater is an aveira lishma, an aveira for the sake of heaven, than a mitzvah shalom lishma, than a mitzvah with no kavana. Shenemar, tevorach minoshim yael, ishes chever akini, minoshim ba'oel tevorach. So I will say, Yael, who was the wife of Chevra Akinir. Both remember again, this is a story. We read this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. This is Daf Torah. Right? The story of Yael, who lures Sisera into her tent under the illusion of protection. So according to Chazal, so Yael had seven acts of relations with Sisera in order to tire him out. He fell asleep in the tent, and that's when she calls Barak and Devorah in. Sisera's here. They kill Sisera. She kills Sisera in his sleep. So also, she was a married woman. She was a married woman. It's one of the paradigmatic examples of an Avera Lishma. She committed adultery for the sake of heaven, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, she is even greater than the women of the tent. But say, who are the women of the tent? Man nihu noshim ba'ohel, Sara Rivka Rachavaleya. We'll say, amazing. So literally, again, the pasuk says that Yael, who committed an avera lishma, is mamish like on the level, ultimately, again, of the imos. Ini, one second, Gemara, so we'll say, that's a very strong statement, that an avera lishma is even greater than a mitzvah shalom lishma. So, Ini, is that true? Vamar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Li'olam Yasrok, Adi B'Torah, Mitzvah, Afi L'Shalo, L'Shma, Bet Rav Yehuda, said in the name of Rav, a person should always engage in Torah and Mitzvot, even not for the sake of heaven. Shemitok Shalo, L'Shma, Balashma. So we'll say, we see that even a Mitzvah, Shalo, L'Shma, we'll say, has value. Why? Because if you start doing something, Shalo, L'Shma, ultimately you'll come to L'Shma. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Ima, Ki Mitzvah, Shalo, L'Shma. Rather, we'll say, the way the Gemara should read is as follows. Gidola Avera Lishma. Kimitzvah shalom lishma. The Rabbi say an avera for the sake of heaven is as great, ultimately again, as a mitzvah not for the sake of heaven. So we're not going to go so far to say that an avera lishma is greater than a mitzvah shalom lishma. Therefore, but we're going to go so far to say, Rabbi say that there is merit to an avera lishma. Rabbi say we have paradigmatic examples of this. We have Yael, Esther Hamalka is another example of this. Rabbi say, but this yisod, and again, I just want to point out, we don't have time because I have to stop over here. So you should point out, Rabbi say this concept of avera lishma is dafka in situations where what? Where there's an issue of hatsalas haklal. When there is an issue ultimately, again, or a situation of saving the Jewish people, that's when an avera lishma becomes permitted. That's if you look at the examples of Yael, of Esther, these are situations of hatsalas haklal, and avera lishma becomes permitted. Says Chazal, that avera lishma is so great that it has the power almost of a mitzvah shalom lishma. So we have to stop over here. Shkoyach.